वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This chapter enumerates and categorizes the natural elements, explains the difference between male and female natures, and describes birth and death. There are many opinions concerning the number of material elements, but this difference of opinion brought about by the influence of illusory energy is not illogical. All the elements of nature exist everywhere. So authorities who have accepted the illusory potency of the Supreme Personality may propose a variety of theories. The insurmountable illusory energy of God is the root cause of their mutually contradictory arguments. There is no difference between ultimate enjoyer and the supreme controller. To presuppose any distinction between them is senseless. Ordinary knowledge is simply a quality of material nature, not of the soul proper. The raw substance of material nature is designated according to its different phases. In the mode of goodness, it is known as knowledge. In the mode of passion, as activity, and in the mode of darkness as ignorance. Time is another name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and another name for material propensity is Sutra or Mahatattva. The 25 elements of nature are the Lord, Nature, the Mahat, False Ego, Ether, Air, Fire, Water, Earth, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the skin, speech, hands, the feet, the genitals, the anus, the mind, sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. The unmanifest Supreme Personality merely glances at nature. Material nature, which is under the control of the Supreme Lord, then assumes the form of causes and effects and carries out the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world. Even though the Purusha and Prakriti appear non-different to superficial vision, there is an ultimate difference between the two. The material creation is produced from the modes of Prakriti, and its quality is transformation. The living entities who are inimical to the Supreme Personality of Godhead take on and give up various kinds of material bodies through the agency of their own material work. But those who are ignorant of the self, because of being bewildered by illusion, do not understand this. The mind which is filled with ideas of fruitive work simply takes the senses with it from one body to another. While the soul follows along, nevertheless, on account of being totally absorbed in sense gratification, one cannot remember his past existence. The body undergoes 9 stages of manifestations, which are brought about by association with the qualities of material nature. These are impregnation, gestation, birth, childhood, youth, maturity, middle age, old age, and death. From the death of one's father and the birth of one's son, a person can easily comprehend the rise and fall of his own body. The soul, who is the perceiver, is different from this body. But when there is no knowledge of the true facts, the living entity, confused by the objects of sense gratification, achieves his destination within the cycle of material existence. Thus, living entity continuously wander under the spell of material work, taking birth as a sage or demigod when he is predominated by the mode of goodness, among the demons or human beings when he is predominantly influenced by the mode of passion, and in the species of ghosts, spirits or animals when he is predominated by the mode of ignorance. The spirit soul does not engage in the enjoyment of sense objects. Rather, it is the senses that perform this activity. Therefore, the living being has no actual need for sense gratification, sense gratificatory pleasure. With the exception of those peaceful personalities who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are dedicated to the divine duty of his service, everyone, including so-called learned scholars, is inevitably overcome by the all-powerful material nature. So, text 1, 2, 3 are put together and the purport has been given. I'll just read, okay, the text 1 has been written on the board, so we'll read it together. Shri Uddhava Uvacha,
Shri Uddhava Uvacha,
Kati,
Kati,
Tatyani,
Tatyani,
Vishesha,
Vishesha,
Sankhatani,
Sankhatani,
Rishibhi,
Rishibhi,
Prabho,
Prabho,
Navaikadasa,
Navaikadasa,
Pancha,
Pancha,
Trini,
Trini,
Artha,
Artha,
Tvam,
Tvam,
Iha,
Iha,
Shushruma,
Shushruma.
Shri Uddhava Uvacha,
Shri Uddhava Uvacha,
Kati Tatyani Vishesha,
Kati Tatyani Vishesha,
Shankhatani Rishibhi Prabho,
Shankhatani Rishibhi Prabho,
Navaikadasa Panchatrini,
Navaikadasa Panchatrini,
Atmam Iha Sushruma,
Atmam Iha Sushruma,
Shri Uddhava Uvacha,
Shri Uddhava Uvacha,
Kati Tatyani Vishesha,
Kati Tatyani Vishesha,
Sankhatyan Rishibhi Prabho,
Sankhatyan Rishibhi Prabho,
Navaikadasa Panchatri,
Navaikadasa Panchatri,
Athyatvam Iha Sushruma,
Athyatvam Iha Sushruma,
Shri Shri Guru Vacha.
Kati Tatvani Vishvesha.
Sankitani
Vishibhi Prabhu.
Sankitani Vishibhi Prabhu.
Naivakadasipanchini.
Atatvamiha Shushuma.
Shri Uddhava Vacha. Kapita Tvani Vishvesha.
Sankhyatam Vishibhi Prabho.
Navaikadasa Panchatri. Atatvam Iha Shushuma.
Mataji.
Shri Uddhava Vacha. Patitatmani Vishvesha Sankhyatani Vishvi Prabho Navayadasha Panchatini Atatvami Sushuma.
Shri Uddhava Vacha.
Patitatmani Vishvesha Sankhyatani Vishvi Prabho Navayadasha Panchatini Atatvam Iha Shushuma.
So I will read through the next two verses that are together. Kechit sarvinshatim prahur apare panchavinshatim shaktaike navashat kechit chattar jekadasha pare kechit saptadasha prahu shodashaike trayodasha etavattam hi sankhyanam rishayo jad vibakshaya gayanti prithagayusman nidam no baktum arhashi. So I'll just go straight to the translation. All three verses have been put together in translation. Uddhava inquired, "My dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, how many different elements of creation have been enumerated by the great sages? I have heard you personally describe a total of 28. God, the Jiva soul, the Mahatattva, false ego, five gross elements, the 10 senses, the mind, the five subtle objects, the five subtle objects of perception, and the three modes of nature. But some authorities say that there are 26 elements, while others cite 25 or else 7, 9, 6, 4 or 11. And even others say that there are 17, 16 or 13. What did each of these sages have in mind when he calculated the creative elements in such different ways? O Supreme Eternal, kindly explain this to me." Purport. Lord Krishna thoroughly explained in the previous chapter that Vedic knowledge is not meant for sense gratification but for liberation from material bondage. Now Uddhava presents some intermediate questions that must be answered so the path of liberation will be clear. Different philosophers have historically disagreed over the exact number of material elements, about the existence and non-existence of particular external objects, and about the existence of the soul itself. The Gyanakanda section of the Vedas aims at liberation through analytical understanding of the material world and of the spirit soul as a transcendental element beyond matter. Ultimately, the Supreme Lord Himself stands above all elements and maintains them by his personal potency. Uddhava maintains in numerical terms different methodologies of various sages, citing first the Lord's own opinion, the word Ayushman, or possessing eternal form, is significant in this regard. Since Lord Krishna is eternal, he possesses all knowledge of past, present, and future, and is thus the original and supreme philosopher. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the different analytic approaches mentioned by Uddhava are actually non-contradictory, since they are different methods of categorizing the same reality. Atheistic speculation or reality does not recognize the existence of God. Consequently, it is a worthless attempt to explain the truth. The Lord Himself empowers different living entities to speculate and speak on reality in different ways. The actual reality, however, is the Lord Himself, who will now speak to Sri Uddhava. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Nitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Nitam हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशा कल्पतरुभ्य कृपा सिंधुभैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरवानन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे Shri Uddhava Uvacha Kati Tatyani Vishesha Sankhatyan Vishibhi Prabhu Navaika Dasha Panchatri Yatyatra Tamiha Shushuma Keji Sar Vimshatin Prabhur Apare Pancha Vimshatin Shaktaite Navashat Keji Tattare Yekadasha Pare Keji Shakta Dasha Prabhu षोडशैके त्रयोदश एतावत्तं हि संख्यानां ऋषयजद् विवक्षया गायन्ति पृथगायुष्मान् इदं नो वक्तुम् अर्हसि उद्धव इन्क्वायर्ड माय डियर लॉर्ड ओ मास्टर ऑफ द यूनिवर्स हाउ मेनी डिफरेंट एलिमेंट्स ऑफ क्रिएशन हैव बीन इन्यूमरेटेड बाय द ग्रेट सेजेस आई हैव हर्ड यू पर्सनली डिस्क्राइब टोटल ऑफ 28 God, the Jiva Soul, the Mahatattva, false ego, the five gross elements, the 10 senses, the mind, the five subtle objects of perception, and the three modes of nature. But some authorities say that there are 26 elements, while others cite 25 or else 7, 9, 6, 4, or 11. And even others say that there are 17, 16, or 13. What did each of these sages have in mind when he calculated the creative elements in such different ways? O Supreme Eternal, kindly explain this to me. So, Uddhav is inquiring from the Supreme Personality of Godhead about the elements of material creation, which is actually analyzed in a branch of Sankhya philosophy. The word Sankhya literally means analytical study. It's coming from the word Sankhya. Sankhya means number. So counting the numbers when you are analyzing the creation, and that is called Sankhya philosophy. The Vedas have different branches of philosophy, predominantly, mainly, six branches of philosophy known as Sat Darshan. Darshan, the word Darshan stands for philosophy. Darshan means philosophy. So there are six branches of philosophy in the Vedas. Those six branches are Purva Mimamsa or Karma Mimamsa. It begins from there. The Karmakanda section, Gyanakanda section, and then that leads to the final conclusion of Vedantaya, which concludes in Bhakti. So this is the general analysis of the Vedic wisdom. The Karma Mimamsa or Purva Mimamsa, the preliminary conclusion, deals with the Karmakanda section. And it's simply, the understanding is that as you act, as you sow, so shall you reap. As you act accordingly, you'll get the result. You act in a wrong way, you will suffer. You act in a right way, you will enjoy. So that is the simple consideration of karma. Action-reaction principle. And then it leads to Gyanakanda. The Gyanakanda generally deals with the four branches of philosophy, starting with Naya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, and Yoga. It's gradually actually, say here, the description is of the Sankhya philosophy. In Bhagavad Gita also Krishna dealt with the Sankhya philosophy briefly, analyzing the material nature with eight considerations. Bhumi, Rapo, Anuga, Vayu, Kham, Mano, Buddhi, Devacha, Ahankara, Iti, Amme, Vinnata, Vipulashtra. The material nature is comprising of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and falsehood. With these eight elements, material nature has been composed of. But then Krishna is making one point that aparayamitastannam, this material nature is apara, my separated energy. But prakriti vidhi me para. Understand that there is a reality, there is a nature which is beyond this material nature and which is superior nature of mind, prakriti vidhi me para. And jiva bhutan mahavaho jayedam thayatedam. The living entities are coming from that superior internal potency of Krishna. So in this way, Krishna is establishing that the material nature is composed of eight elements. And beyond that, there is a spirit soul. And here, Krishna is bringing in few other considerations, 17 other considerations. Those 17 other considerations are the five working senses and five knowledge acquiring senses. Five knowledge acquiring senses are eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and touch, skin. And five knowledge acquiring senses are, five working senses are speech, hands, legs, anus, belly, and genitals.
Belly?
So, Pani, Bak, Pani, Pai, yeah. The hands, the leg has been included here. Speech, leg, hands, Pani, Payu, anus, belly, and genitals. So that makes it five. And then there are five objects of the senses. The five objects of the senses are the sound, form, touch, taste, and smell. The five senses interact with the five elements, and as a result of that, the five objects of the senses are generated. The eyes interact with fire, form is produced. Skin interacts with air, touch is produced. Ether interacts with ears, sound is produced. Tongue interacts with water, taste is produced, and nose interacts with earth, and smell is produced. So, in this way, there are five objects of the senses. Now, in this analysis, Krishna did not include the intelligence. Like, he considered that eight elements, mind, intelligence, and false ego, three subtle elements. Instead of this three, Krishna included the mind and false ego. So, instead of intelligence is prakriti, nature, then mahatattva, then Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then three modes of material nature, mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. So in this way we can see that 28 elements we found. And so Sankha, ultimately, the way it develops, the normal Sankha philosophy, the theistic Sankha, there are two types of Sankha philosophy. One is the atheistic and the other is the theistic Sankha. The atheistic Sankha actually do not consider the existence of the Supreme Personality. They simply analyze with the 24 considerations, and that is it. That is their understanding. This material nature is composed of 24 considerations. But then they can't help but consider that these 24 considerations are objective in nature. But the object cannot exist without a subject. The observed object must have an observer. If the observer is not there, then the object cannot exist. So who is the observer? The self is the observer. I am the observer. So in this way, they at the most go into the acceptance of the spirit soul But the Vaishnava Sangha conclusion is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the source of all the souls. The souls are there, the souls are many and minute, minute and many. So anything that is minute and many must have an origin, a source. So who is the source of that? All the spirit souls? The Supreme Soul. That is the Supreme Personality of God. In this way, Sankha is actually transcending the material nature and establishing the existence of the soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Super Soul. So the understanding of the Super Soul is that that Super Soul has to be understood by the internal quest, internal search. Because by this external search, we go only to analyze the, at the most, analyze the material nature and understand the existence of the soul. But the, to understand the Supreme Soul or the Super Soul, one has to go internally. Example is, Brahma, when he first appeared, he made an extensive search externally, but he couldn't come to understand himself, who he was, where he came from, and what is the purpose of his existence. This Brahma Jigasa, he couldn't find the answer to. Therefore, the Lord instructed him through the clashing of the waves that produced the sound tapaha, tapaha. That inspired Brahma to go inside, go within. And when Brahma went within, or tried to go within, then he heard the sound of the flute of Krishna, which manifested in the form of Gayatri. And he meditated on the Gayatri Mantra, and as a result of that, he perceived the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the core of his heart. And that led to perceiving Golok Vrindavan, which has been described in Brahma Samhita. And Brahma saw Krishna face to face in the spiritual sky. And the description of the spiritual sky was that Chintamani Prakarasa Sukha Purusha. It is a world full of variety and beauty. That place is made of Chintamani. The trees there are not ordinary trees. They are just, they are kalpavriksha, desire fulfilling trees. Krishna is tending cows there. They are not ordinary cows. They are Surati cows. And Lakshmi Shahasra Sata Samhama Sevama. Hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis are serving him with great awe and reverence. Samhama Sevama. So that is the spiritual sky. And the journey to the spiritual sky is not an external journey. It is an internal journey. And that is how it leads to yoga. And when one achieves the perfection of yoga, then he sees the Lord in the heart. When it reaches the core of his heart through proper process of Ashtanga Yoga, it's an arduous process, it's a very, very difficult process, but still, when one achieves this perfection, then he sees the Supreme Personality of God in the heart, the Lord in the heart. A minute Jiva soul sees the Supreme Soul, Supreme Personality. And then naturally his head bends down in surrender to him. It is a natural tendency of an inferior when he comes across a superior he surrenders to him. So this surrender, sharanagati, or prapatti, leads to the final destination or final process of bhakti. So in this way you can see that how it has been, the journey has been described in a very systematic way, and that bhakti is leading to uttar mimamsa, or final conclusion. And this final conclusion or uttar mimamsa is Vedanta. Vedanta has been expanded in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva gave the Vedanta Sutra as the ultimate, and then he himself analyzed that ultimate through his own commentary. And that commentary is Srimad Bhagavatam. And here we are seeing the Bhagavatam is leading to the perfect understanding. The Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. The 12 cantos of Bhagavatam are the 12 limbs of Krishna's body. The first two cantos are his lotus feet. The third and fourth canto are his thighs. Fifth canto is his abdomen. Sixth canto is his chest. Seventh and eighth cantos are his arms. Ninth canto is his neck. And the tenth canto is his smiling lotus face. The personality is perceived mainly through space. So understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the 10th canto. But Prabhupada warned us, don't jump to the feet, start from the feet. When you are seeing, when you are observing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we must start to see Him from His feet, and then gradually we should rise. Otherwise we may fail to recognize. Then the 11th canto is his forehead, and the 12th canto is his head. This is how the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been revealed through the 12th cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam is a Mahapuran. The lakshan, the symptom of Mahapuran, must have 10 characteristics. Atra sarga visargascha sthana poshana putaya manvantara ishanu katha mukti nirodha ashraya. This Bhagavatam deals with sarga, creation, preliminary creation. Creation that came from Vishnu, Mahavishnu, and also Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and then Visharga, secondary creation, Sthana, the situations of the planetary system, Poshanam, the way the Lord is maintaining everything, that will be described, Utayo, the tendency to procreate, tendency to create. Manvantara, the descriptions of the reigns of different manus. Ishanu Gatha, the descriptions of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in different incarnations. Then Mukti, liberation. Nirodha, cessation of material existence. That follows liberation. And ashraya, this word, this aspect, ashraya, Prabhupada translated as samam bonam. Although literally, the word ashraya means shelter. The supreme shelter of everything is the Supreme Personality. So that is the most important aspect of this Bhagavad Purana and Mahapurana. Krishna is the ultimate source of everything. Krishna is the supreme creator. Krishna is the supreme maintainer. Krishna is also the supreme annihilator, supreme destroyer. So, Krishna is the ultimate consideration of entire Vedic understanding. Krishna himself said, Vedeshya sarvai ahameva vedya. In all the Vedas, I alone am to be known. Sarvai Vedeshya ahameva vedya. And when we reach that, and we then we learn to re-establish our relationship with Him. So that's how yoga is actually leading. When one achieves the perfection of yoga, then automatically he reaches the process of establishing relationship with Him through love, through loving devotional service. In this way you can see that the perfection of knowledge is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Glorious. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Very dear. We learned from Bhagavad Gita and other places how this world is a reflection of this spiritual world. Now, as you're describing it in the verse, there's so many ways of analyzing this world into different components. What is the relationship? Because we understand there's spiritual earth, there's spiritual water, and all of these things. So, what is the difference between how that works in the spiritual world and how it works here? Do we have table made of earth and things like that? How is the relationship?
The difference between spiritual and material is when Krishna is the center, it is spiritual. When we are the center, that is material. So yes, everything is there. When we try to use it for our sake, for our sense gratification, that is material. But when the same elements, when the same objects are utilized or engaged in Krishna's service, it is spiritual. Like there, everything is there. But there, everything is being used in Krishna's sake, for Krishna's sake, for Krishna's pleasure. But here, we are getting the reflection, that is, we are getting an impression that we can utilize them for our sense gratification, but it never works. Just like seeing a beautiful plate of prasad in a reflection, you cannot possibly satisfy your stomach. So material nature is a reflection. That is, it appears to be there, but actually it is not there. The possibility seems to be there, but it doesn't work. We are trying to enjoy, but we are never satisfied. Rather, the more we try to enjoy, the more we end up suffering. So that is the difference between spiritual reality and material reflection. Yes? Krishna Chaitanya.
You mentioned that to understand the super soul, we have to look internally. And is that because we're covered? In the spiritual world now, internal and external is not really in the original position in the spiritual world. See, really, at the point of Lord Brahma, he too had to look internally and understand the Lord. If you're back in your spiritual position, then you're not really, internal becomes external, or they're the same, or... Because it's no longer, you're not in the material world anymore, you're in the spiritual world.
Yeah, very good. You see, Krishna is with the living entity, especially when the living entity leaves him. Krishna accompanies him. Just like a father, the son may leave the father, little child says, I want to be on my own. I want to go to the park and I want to play with my friends. The father said, okay, go. But he goes with him. And while the child is playing in the park, in the field, the father is sitting on a bench and watching the son. And he is letting him play with your friend. But then when it becomes dark and when it starts to, all friends leave, then he becomes afraid and calls out, Daddy, Daddy, where are you? Then the father comes and picks him and takes him home. So super soul, Krishna, we have rejected him and we are trying to play in this material nature with our friends, then Krishna is just watching us, our activity. From the material context, he is the Upadrashta and Anumanta. He is the witness and he is the approver. He is sanction, approver. But the way a living entity turns towards him, Daddy, Daddy, where are you? Then Krishna comes in. So, Krishna is not just an Upadrashta and Anumanta as a superstar. Krishna is going with the living entity to see when the living entity is going to turn his face towards him. Krishna is just waiting for that moment. The moment the living entity turns towards him, Krishna just says, come, come in. Back home. So that is the... You see, the super soul is, as long as we are looking away from Krishna, towards the material nature, trying to enjoy. But the moment we turn our face towards Krishna, then he is not the super soul anymore. He is Shyamam Trivanga Lalita Niyata Prakasha. He is Krishna. The personality, the all-attractive supreme personality of Godhead, who plays his flute in Vrindavan, drowning every living entity, drowning all his devotees in an ocean of ecstasy. It's only a matter of his turning your face towards him. And that's why Prabhupada said, you take one step, Krishna will take 100 steps, 1,000 steps, million steps to come and pick you up. So all we have to do is just take that one step towards him, and Krishna will do the rest. Yes, Madhavata Prabhu.
Maharaj, thank you for visiting, everyone, taking the time out of your schedule. In philosophical terms, why does existence of an object necessitates existence of the subject, as you mentioned in the beginning of your presentation?
Yeah.
Because an atheist could argue that it's all just a bunch of objects.
Okay. When I am asleep, does this world exist? When you are asleep, does this world exist?
Yes, it does.
Is it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Next time when you fall asleep, I'll go and ask you.
But you're asking me right now.
But you're not asleep now. You're awake. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. I'm saying when you're asleep, when you're unconscious, that means when you're not here, does this world exist to you? No.
Okay. Can I argue?
Well, if you want, you can. The point is, that unless the subject is here, you see, for example, the material nature becomes unmanifest. Material nature has two aspects of existence, vyakta and avyakta, manifest and unmanifest. When is the material nature unmanifest? Material nature is unmanifest when Krishna turns his glance away from the material nature. When Krishna withdraws his glance, material nature is avyakta, unmanifest. When Krishna casts his glance, material nature is manifest. And what happens through Krishna's glance? When Krishna glances, the living entities are projected into the material nature. And it is through the material nature, it is through the living entities that the material nature becomes active and manifest. And when all the living entities are withdrawn from the material nature goes into a state of unmanifest.
So, I joined this club a long time ago, so I agree, but but if I place myself in the position of an empiric observer, here I am.
Again,
I'm
who
left
is the observer?
With,
as you say, the empirical observer. Who is the observer? That observer is the subject. I.
Yes.
And somebody has to be here to witness this material nature.
Okay, but still.
Like, for example, there is this again another philosophical term. A beautiful flower bloomed on top of Mount Everest where there is no one to see it. Does the flower exist? Because no one is there to witness it.
Yes,
who knows
but it does
whether
exist.
It's there or not?
But it does exist. That's the thing, because...
No, it doesn't exist, because no one is there to witness. Who is going to come and tell you then whether it exists? Does the reporter of Time magazine, with a photograph, with a camera, when he goes there, he takes the photograph and broadcasts this in Facebook? Yes, then everybody sees.
That's exactly what the Buddha is saying. I disagree with that.
That's why they are.
Because if you.
That's why their thing. That's why Shankaracharya came, and defeated them, drove them out of India.
Yeah, but that's what they say.
That's
they
what
say exactly
say.
What you said, that if the tree fell down, if no one was there to witness it, did it fall down? But the first thing, the sentence goes, if the tree fell down and no one was there to see, did it fall down? So first the statement was there that it fell down.
Oh, well, keep on speculating for 25 million years.
Yeah, that's a good argument. Okay,
yes.
but
so go ahead, if you want to do it, do it.
But still, if, I mean, if I'm to meet a professor at UCLA, professor of biology or physics or one of these analytical brains, and if I'm to make a statement that existence of an object necessitates existence of a subject, I mean, I better have some good
okay,
arguments.
Okay, then my response to that will be, a blind man, no matter how analytical a brain he has, will he ever be able to see?
Okay.
A person who is blind, no matter how analytical, how sharp a brain he has, will it enable him to see the sun?
No.
That's their problem.
They
may have a very intelligent brain, but they don't really have the vision to see. That's the problem. Yeah.
But everyone out there says that
one way to explain it. Like the example can be given, the camera can take pictures. The camera can take a picture, then even if it sees a red color, it can print out a little thing saying, I saw red color, but did it really see anything? Because camera can take pictures, but then it needs a person to see that picture.
Correct.
Camera doesn't see.
And the materialistic Sankhyites, meaning biologists, physicists, and chemists, they'll say, that's exactly what's happening. You are just a machine. What's your response to it?
Without the conscious layer.
A machine without a driver, can it run? A car without a driver, no matter how sophisticated it is.
But there is a car. There is a car that drives without the person.
There may be a remote control. Somebody is controlling, so there has to be a controller.
But the person you call it controller is also a machine.
The thing is that, you know, if they want to come and want to argue, let them do that.
But Maharaj, it's not argument. It's a good question.
Hang on.
Because, I mean, let's say...
Tell me, what's the benefit of this discussion?
The benefit.
You said that you joined the club. Now, do you want to leave the club?
No.
Okay. Then what are you going to gain out of it? You know, a person has a misconception. If you know that it is wrong, why are you going to waste your time in trying to prove that that is right? That's what you are trying to do. You are trying to justify their misconception, which will never work.
No, but I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to justify
their misconception.
Then what are you
trying to do? Please tell me.
If I'm approached with that question, and if I myself don't have an answer to it, then I should give it some credibility, unless I want to...
No, you have the answer. The answer is very simple, that the object cannot exist without the observer.
Isn't Krishna the supreme observer? He's observing everything.
A rock falls
in a mountain somewhere. Yeah. No one's there. Krishna sees it, so it still exists.
That's fine.
But the thing is, no, the point actually is to that. At some point, Krishna is also not the observer. He withdraws his glance.
Well, then you have the annihilation.
That's the point. So ultimately, there has to be an observer. His point is that the object can exist without the observer. But you are pointing out that, okay, there may not be an individual living entity as an observer. Krishna is the observer. But at some point, Krishna also will not be an observer. Then the material nature will become unmanifest. So that means material nature will not exist.
Tree falls in the forest and there's no person around, and forget the insects, it still fell and it still sound made because Krishna saw it and Krishna heard it.
Well, I mean, when you want to look at it from that point of view, then we can see the tree also is the spirit soul.
Yeah.
Right? Tree itself is experiencing that I fell. So yes.
Did it say ouch?
And he said, "It says crash."
So looking at it analytically from our viewpoint, I mean, you have reality and you have not reality, unreal and real. And if you're paying attention to the unreal, you can analyze it to the bone, just like you said. I mean, you got reality or reality. Reality, like you said, being asleep.
But that's not our philosophy.
There's a different reality.
I'm sorry, but the gross elements are real. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhumi Rapo Nalo Vayo Kama Manu.
Yes, they are real only as long as it is manifest.
Yes.
When it is unmanifest, then all the forms will disappear. All the elements will disappear. Everything will merge into just, Prakriti. Only thing that will exist, Prakriti and the modes, and nothing else will exist.
Can I add something to it, Marsh?
No,
I'll say
one question.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, there ought to be a way from my empirical point of view. Let's say I'm just someone who's developing initial interest in Krishna consciousness. And I have this question, and if someone tells me that the answer is, you subscribe to my club, and in due course you will understand, that's the same thing that every single group out there tells me. So there's got to be an empirical way for transcendence to communicate over to me.
But you have your intelligence to figure out which one is the
That's why I'm asking this question.
Yes.
And I was told...
The thing is that, and the function of intelligence is to figure out what's right and what's not right.
Correct.
The mind.
So now you use your intelligence and figure out which concept makes the most sense.
Yes.
So do that.
Yeah, and that's why, to me, the existence of an object, the statement that the existence of an object necessitates existence of a subject, I would see that necessity in the form of objective morality.
Can I suggest something at this point?
Yes.
Well, the choice is yours, right? You can analyze the whole material nature in 24 consideration as a sankhya state, right? Now the question is, do you want to go into the 25th consideration or not? Do you want to or not? Or do you want to leave it at 24? If you want, you can just leave it as that. No one is going to trouble you.
That's a crucial point.
Hey, Mahat, I'm just wondering because of the time factor, if you might want to carry this on with Maharaj.
Oh yeah, it's okay. No, I think that's a good point, the last thing Maharaj said. Because some people are just so averse to, you know, passing beyond that point. And they limit themselves to empirical tools and...
So that's the thing, okay. And then when you come to 25th, then also the option is open to you. Do you want to consider the 26th consideration? That all the living entities have an origin? So what that origin is, he's the supreme soul. And all the living entity being a part and parcel of that supreme soul has a connection with him. So let's try to re-establish the connection. That is how, you see, Vedic philosophy very systematically is progressing us from one step to another. Okay, so let us end now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.